Sinatra Podcast Conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Mm. We take complex sources and, well, we try to boil them down to the insights that really matter for you.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're plunging into the really profound world of Ralph Waldo Emerson's essays.
That's right.
If you've ever felt that, you know, that tension between what the world wants and what you feel deep down, well, this one's definitely for you.
It really speaks to that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Our mission today is basically to unpack his core ideas, the ones that challenge conformity, the ones that champion, you know, individual wisdom. We want to make these sometimes dense philosophical concepts feel accessible and, frankly, useful in your life right now. Okay, let's get into it. Our dive today is based on a really solid summary of Emerson's essays, mostly focusing on his first and second series.
Yeah, the big ones.
Exactly. And we're going to explore his, well, revolutionary arguments for self-reliance, for trusting that internal wisdom, and show why these ideas from the 1800s are, maybe more than ever, really vital today.
Absolutely. It tackles that core question. How do you find your authentic voice when everything out there is telling you who you should be?
Right.
And that's the heart of it. I mean, think about today's world. You've got constant external pressures, social media, comparison culture, just the general noise telling us how to think, how to act.
It's overwhelming.
It really is. And Emerson's call to trust your inner voice, it feels like such a powerful antidote to all that. It's like he's offering a path back to, well, authentic living.
A way to hear yourself again.
Precisely. Tapping into that inner truth that so often gets drowned out. It's kind of a blueprint for living life on your own terms.
So who was this guy? Ralph Waldo Emerson, born 1803, died 1882. He wasn't just some abstract philosopher.
No, not at all.
He was a major American thinker, really the leader of the transcendentalist movement. You know, that whole outlook emphasizing intuition, individual conscience, the goodness of people and nature.
Mm-hmm. And he started out, interestingly, as a Unitarian minister in Boston. Came from that sort of prominent intellectual New England background.
Right, the Boston Brahmins.
Exactly. But here's where it gets really interesting for understanding his work. He actually resigned from the ministry.
Which was a huge deal back then.
A massive deal. And it was because of his own philosophical doubts. It wasn't about losing faith, exactly, but more about a commitment to intellectual honesty over just sticking with convention.
Yeah.
And you can see how that personal act, questioning established institutions, directly fed into his philosophy. He was living it.
So he walked the talk.
He really did. And then he went on this intellectual journey, synthesizing all sorts of things, German idealism, you know, focusing on intuition, European romanticism with its love for nature and emotion, even Eastern philosophies like Hinduism, Buddhism, concepts of universal unity.
That's quite a mix.
It is. And he combined all that with his experience as a really popular lecturer. So he wasn't just thinking in an ivory tower. He was engaging with people, honing his ideas. It gave him this unique authority.
That makes sense. So the personal journey really infuses the essays. Mm-hmm. What's the core message then? What's the central argument of this collection?
Okay, so the main idea, the big one, is pretty revolutionary. Individual self-reliance and personal authenticity aren't just nice-to-haves.
Right.
They're the actual foundation for personal fulfillment and for societal progress. Emerson truly believed we all have this innate wisdom, a moral compass inside us that's more important than any external authority.
So basically, trust yourself first. Forget the institutions, the traditions, even what everyone else thinks.
Pretty much. He's saying your inner voice holds the key. It answers that question. How do you find your authentic voice and power?
And connecting that to the bigger picture, he wasn't just talking about individual navel-gazing, was he?
Not at all. If you think about it, America itself was this young nation trying to figure out its identity, separate from Europe. Emerson was providing a kind of philosophical backbone for a new kind of person, independent, spiritually alive, suited for democracy.
Yeah.
His goal was to liberate people from what he saw as soul-crushing forces, just blindly following tradition, relying on external approval, always conforming.
Right.
He thought trusting yourself was crucial, not just for you, but for the health of the whole society.
That's a really powerful way to frame it. Okay, let's dig into some specific essays. This is where, for me, it gets really interesting and honestly challenging. Self-reliance. His most famous one, right?
Definitely the most famous.
And it's more than just trust your gut, isn't it? He argues that conforming, even in small ways, actually cuts you off from something bigger, from universal truth.
Exactly. Your biggest contribution sometimes is standing alone with your convictions.
He has that line, "Whoso would be a man must be a nonconformist." That's pretty direct.
It is. He's saying society is almost actively working against your self-reliance, trying to smooth you out, make you fit in.
Yeah, to make you predictable.
Right. And to be truly yourself, you have to push back, even if it makes you unpopular or seem difficult.
But that brings up a question, doesn't it? How do you know if you're trusting genuine intuition versus just being, I don't know, stubborn or self-absorbed? Where's the line?
That's a crucial distinction. And Emerson addresses it. He's clear that this self-trust isn't about arrogance or just doing whatever you feel like in the moment.
Okay.
It's about connecting to something deeper. He talks about the divine oversoul. So it's not just your fleeting impulse. It's listening for that deeper universal wisdom within you, those quiet nudges.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
And related to that, there's the other famous quote, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds."
Yes. A classic.
That one always gets me thinking, you know, how often do we stick to an old opinion just because we said it before, even when we kind of know better now?
It's surprisingly hard to let go, isn't it? We like to appear consistent.
Totally. But Emerson is saying, no, embrace growth. Have the guts to change your mind, to contradict yourself if you've learned something new. It's about being intellectually alive, not rigid.
Absolutely. Society might reward that superficial consistency, but Emerson valued inner growth more. And that idea of fluidity connects right into the oversoul.
The spiritual foundation you mentioned.
Exactly. What's so brilliant here is how his radical individualism is actually balanced by this idea of universal connection. He says all our individual souls are part of this larger universal soul, the oversoul,
okay,
which is the source of all truth, beauty, goodness. So when you trust your deepest intuition, you're not just trusting little old you, you're tapping into that universal source.
So it stops individualism from just becoming pure ego.
Precisely. It grounds it in something shared, something spiritual.
Okay, so that inner connection is key.
Right.
But what about like external consequences? Justice. He talks about that too, right? In compensation.
He does, and it's fascinating. His idea of compensation isn't about some future reward or punishment like karma in the next life. It's immediate. Internal.
How so?
He argues that every action has an inherent built-in consequence within you right now. If you act out of vice, you immediately degrade your own character, your own soul. You become spiritually poorer, regardless of whether you get caught.
Wow. Okay. So the punishment is the act itself damaging you.
In a way, yes. And conversely, every virtuous act inherently elevates your soul, enriches you internally. It's a moral system that's self-regulating, happening moment by moment within you.
That puts a lot of responsibility on the individual, doesn't it? No waiting for external judgment.
Exactly. It's all happening right here, right now, inside.
And he saw reflections of these inner laws where in nature.
Yes, that's the focus of his essay, Nature. For Emerson, nature wasn't just scenery. It was like a sacred text, a primary teacher showing us spiritual laws in action.
So looking at the outside world to understand the inside.
Pretty much. He believed that if we really look at nature, we see models for how we should live. Harmony, efficiency, beauty, resilience.
Like the seasons changing.
Right. The cycle of growth, decay, renewal. Or think about a river always flowing, adapting, yet being itself. Nature teaches patience, interconnectedness. It mirrors those spiritual laws he felt were inside us.
That's a beautiful perspective. Okay, so we've got self-reliance, the oversoul, compensation, nature. What about relationships? How does this philosophy apply to, say, friendship?
Friendship. He has a very high bar for it. It's quite demanding, actually.
Oh.
He sees true friendship not as two needy halves making a whole, but as a connection between two strong, self-reliant individuals.
Okay, so independence is key even in friendship.
Absolutely. It's based on profound honesty, mutual respect for each other's independence, and a shared commitment to truth. It's not about finding someone to complete you. It's about finding someone who inspires you to be more complete in yourself.
That's a challenge to how we often think about relationships.
It is. And then there's this famous line from that essay, "The only way to have a friend is to be one."
I've heard that.
It sounds simple, but it's deep. It means true connection comes from cultivating your own character, your own integrity. You become the kind of person capable of real friendship rather than just seeking it out of need.
So you attract it by embodying it.
Exactly. It puts the focus back on your own development.
And just briefly, he also wrote about things like growth, and dealing with disappointment in essays like Circles and Experience.
Yes. Circles uses the metaphor of life as constantly expanding circles. Our understanding grows, encompasses more, but no circle is final. There's always a wider one.
So always be open to growth, to new perspectives.
Right. Nothing is fixed. And in Experience, he gets really honest about grappling with idealism when life throws curveballs, when you face disappointment. It shows he wasn't just a starry-eyed optimist. He understood the challenges of living these principles.
That adds a layer of realism, doesn't it?
It does. It shows his thinking was nuanced, tested by life.
Which definitely raises a question for us, you know. Are we willing to let our own circles expand, or do we cling too tightly to what we think we know?
A very Emersonian question.
So as we pull these threads together, what are the absolute core messages, the big takeaways that echo throughout his work?
Okay, let's distill a few key ones. First, definitely the divinity and primacy of the individual. Your inner voice isn't just you. It's sacred, a direct line to the divine. You have inherent worth and wisdom.
That's huge.
It is. Second, self-trust and nonconformity as moral imperatives. Resisting the pressure to conform isn't just teenage rebellion, it's about integrity. And Emerson believed it's actually the engine of real progress, personally and for society.
Right, you need those dissenting voices.
Absolutely. Yeah. Third, and this is the paradox, universal connection through individual development. The more authentically you become, the more deeply you connect with others and universal truths. It's not isolation.
Interesting twist.
Fourth, nature as a moral and spiritual teacher. Really look at the natural world. It offers profound lessons about balance, growth, beauty, things that reflect our own inner spiritual reality.
Find wisdom outdoors.
Yeah. And finally, the power of the present moment. Don't get lost in regretting the past or fearing the future. Real life, real power, genuine insight, it all happens right now.
That's incredibly relevant today with all the distractions pulling us out of the present.
Couldn't agree more.
And Emerson, gosh, he had a way with words. So many memorable lines that just stick with you.
Oh, definitely. He was a master phrase maker.
Yeah.
We should touch on a few of those nuggets, as you called them earlier.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Probably the most iconic. Trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string.
Love that. The iron string.
It speaks to that unwavering reliability of your core intuition, that deep resonance with truth inside you. Then, the one we discussed. A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds.
Right. The permission to grow.
Exactly. The courage to evolve, to not be trapped by your past self just to look consistent. It's liberating.
It really is.
From friendship. The only way to have a friend is to be one. Shifting the focus entirely onto your own character as the foundation for connection.
Responsibility again.
Yes. And then there's the emphasis on our inner world, often summed up as what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us.
Powerful reminder of where real strength lies.
Definitely. And underpinning so much of it, that statement from the Oversoul, we are part or particle of God. That makes self-trust almost a sacred act, recognizing the divine within.
Wow. Okay, so hearing all this, it's inspiring, maybe a bit intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
How do we actually apply these big ideas? What does living an Emersonian life look like today for, you know?
Great question. It's not about becoming a hermit philosopher. There are really practical ways. Take personal decision-making. Emerson's work really encourages developing practices of self-reflection. Maybe it's journaling, maybe it's just carving out quiet time, maybe meditation. The goal is to get better at hearing your own inner guidance versus all the external noise and shoulds.
Tuning in, basically.
Exactly. Then think about professional development or your work life. Are you choosing paths based on genuine interest in calling or just convention or security? Are you willing to innovate, to question the status quo the way we've always done it?
That takes courage.
It does. In relationships, it means aiming for that deeper honesty Emerson talked about, respecting others' independence as much as your own, setting healthy boundaries, being the friend you want to have.
Less codependency, more mutual respect.
Precisely. And for mental well-being, his focus on the present moment is basically mindfulness, right? Valuing solitude, not as loneliness, but as essential time for self-connection in our crazy hyper-connected world.
Giving your inner voice space to be heard.
Yes. And finally, for anyone involved in creative expression, it's about trusting your unique vision, developing your authentic voice, not just imitating trends, seeing creativity as something meaningful, maybe even spiritual.
So it touches pretty much every part of life.
Mm.
It really can. For me, wrapping this up, the thing that really lands is that sense of radical empowerment. Emerson hands the authority back to you. That shift from always looking outside for answers, for validation, to realizing the ultimate source is within. That's a profound change in perspective. It really reframes how you think about your own power and finding that authentic voice we talked about.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, what I love, maybe what surprised me revisiting it, is how Emerson offers a compass, not a detailed map.
Ah, interesting
He
distinction.
doesn't give you step-by-step instructions for life. Instead, he awakens the sense of your own inner guidance system, your own power, your own spiritual freedom. He encourages you to navigate life with integrity and originality, constantly discovering and growing. It feels timelessly relevant for living an examined, authentic life.
A compass, not a map. I like that.
So maybe the final thought for everyone listening comes from Emerson himself. Are we truly listening to that iron string within us? Or are we letting the noise of the world, the expectations, the comparisons drown it out? What's one small act of self-reliance, one small step toward trusting that inner voice that you can commit to today?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accontra Foundation.